Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Thinker Girls Pod Channel. I'm Stacey June.
And I'm Christy Mercer. Why did you take so long to say welcome?
Because I haven't recorded for a few weeks.
I gave myself a false start because I'm timing, so we stick to time today.
This is the catch-up episode. Hello, nice to have you with us. We are the Thinker Girls and we drop different shows on this channel every day almost.
Yeah, just about.
Every other day.
Inspiring chats, funny chats with guests. No, I'm saying from guests, not from us. I'm not too narrow and horn getting around saying we're hashtag inspo. We're just sharing our lives, shooting the shit. And if that happens to be inspo to you, well, half our luck.
Yes.
And if not, well, we never said we were.
No, that's right. We do want to hash into what's going on in our lives. Just some quick housekeeping. Wanted to give a big shout out to the VIPs. Particularly those that were able to attend our Sydney 411 shows.
Obsessed with you guys.
Some of you came week in, week out. We're so, so thrilled. We have put on a live recording of our catch-up episode that we did last week about – what did you talk about? You talked about – I forget now.
Oh, God, I can't remember either. I remember. A theory that you were confused about, which is that girls are pusher-throughers
yes.
when it comes to dating.
Yes.
And yep. you spoke about the struggle to work on your own yeah. after a long amount of time.
Yeah, the new phase, yep. 2.50.
Whatever. I was going to say, there's been a few of those 2.0s.
Yeah, so I think we recorded that podcast live and then streamed it to our VIPs. So we've got a VIP Facebook group where we give all little special treats to, and we try and do those things as much as possible, giveaways, whatever. If you do want to join, please click the bio link on our Instagram or have a look at show notes. We would love to have you and would always appreciate that support.
Yeah, if you're in a financial position to do so. Obviously, mm-hmm. all of the shows right across the Thinker Girls Pod Channel remain free.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important to us. But yeah, if you've got a bit of money and there's something that you get out of these shows and you'd like to chip in, then we would just froth you for it. Doesn't have to be on a regular basis either.
No.
You can do a once-off if you get a pay rise.
Yeah.
Half your luck and ours.
Yeah, exactly. today I want to talk about the first 3 years of our life. I have been dealing with some pretty heavy anxiety this year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've always been a person that suffered from anxiety, but I've also had an absolute clusterfuck of bombs thrown at me over the last 12 months. And my anxiety has definitely come to play a big part in that. So the last couple of weeks, I've been diving very deeply into my panic attacks because mm-hmm. they've become much more prevalent, particularly since my brother was in hospital. It all just got a bit too much.
Yeah.
And they happen when you don't know. And one of the biggest things I'm working on with my psychologist, which I wanted to share today, was what goes down on the first or in the first 3 years of your life can essentially set up your fight or flight, reference point.
Mm.
And for the rest of your life, you will continue to work with whatever was set up in those first 3 years.
Isn't that so interesting? Because I reckon if you ask the majority of people what went down 0 to 3, they'd be like, I don't know. I've got no memories. I've got zero memories of when I was 2.
I reckon most people's memories are from when they're like 4 yeah. or 5, like school time.
Yet, how much of your, as you say, your personality, your responses, your subconscious thinking goes back to a time that you actually can't even remember.
Oh, I forgot one hook. I rang my mum today and asked her about those 3 years. Oh, my God, I completely forgot. This is the whole part of the story.
Yeah.
And a story that she told me went down in the first 3 years of my life. I feel a bit bad because I don't even think my brother knows this happened. Will blow your mind. I had no idea.
What, something that's happened to you both?
Yes. when we were three, before we were three. She just like randomly just pulled. I'm in my 30s.
So your mum's never told you?
Never.
How we? Okay.
That I think is quite a story I would have been sharing.
Oh, God only knows what's happened. I want to talk about adult acne.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken about this a lot in the past for different reasons and when I've been in different places with it. I've always suffered, not always, on and off the pill. That's been the reason that I've gone on and off the contraceptive pill. I was determined this year to go off the pill and stay off of it no matter how bad my skin has got. And it's gotten to a point, I'm about to give up. I'm not in a good place with it. And I know first world problems, but that's where I'm honestly at today.
Yeah.
It's just constant in my, it's like a loop playing in my head at the moment.
Yeah.
Who's looking at my skin?
Yeah. It's hard. Sitting along the other side of this, like, I just feel like I'm out of things to say back to you as well. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I think sometimes you say things. I have in the past said things in hope that somebody says back, oh, yeah, it's not even that bad. Or I'm just in a place where I'm like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
I feel like I fought really hard.
And I don't need anyone to be okay. To tell me anything.
Nah, but yeah. I need to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I set out to do something that I'm about to fail at.
Okay, that's harsh.
Yeah, well, I am.
Fail?
Well, I am. I said I'm not going back on the pill and I'm about to.
But I wouldn't use the word fail.
I would see that as a failure.
But isn't, we're obviously getting into this now, but isn't, aren't things like this trial and error? Like, how are you going to know what's going to happen?
Oh, I knew what was going to happen. So I was on the contraceptive pill, like a lot of people, quite unconsciously. Mm-hmm. From the time I was 17 and mm-hmm. started having sex, I remember first asking my dad, can I go on the pill? And up until that point, my skin had been like most people going through puberty, especially if I ever get any kind of breakouts, typically around my chin or my mouth, which is often the part of your face that's hormonal, which is pretty, you know, like I had acne, but it wasn't horrific. It didn't scar me. You know, I was conscious of it and aware of it and used makeup to cover it, but it wasn't anything that was crippling like a lot of people. I guess I was, I don't know, kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at a scale of like awful crippling acne versus beautiful, clear, lucky skin.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, from the time I was 17, I don't think I ever really realized what the pill was doing to my body.
Mm.
What the bad side effects it was having, but also the good ones. And we've spoken about this in the past and on the radio show and whatever, and I was quite inspired a couple of years back. I'll put the link in show notes. This Joe Rogan podcast that I just found so fascinating, where it was just this random offshoot of a topic. And if you listen to that podcast, the episodes go for 3 hours. So you'll know they bloody jump right around, and there's about 13 hours of ads at the beginning.
I follow him on Instagram now, and that's the most I've been able to do.
But I mean, he shits me sometimes, but I like, A, his curiosity, and B, the vast array of guests mm-hmm. that he gets on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this particular guest was a female psychologist and doctor, and she was talking about how as a society and as a agenda, for, you know, it's such an unconscious thing as women, you know, especially in America, talking about how over-medicated it is. You're on these uppers, and then for the uppers, we were on these downers, you know, with it being quite a, you know, a commonplace thing to be on countless amounts of medication, contraceptive pill being one of those, and not really knowing what the side effects are.
It's interesting as well, because I think so many women would not, if you were to go to a doctor, say a new doctor, or I don't know, you're at customs or some a place where someone's questioning you very randomly, they would say to you what medication you're on, and you would say, I don't take any.
Yeah.
And that would include people that took the pill.
Yeah.
Because it's so, it is so unconscious, as you say, that it hasn't even really, I think, entered a lot of women's minds that
as
it
medication.
Is medication.
It is.
Yeah.
But you're taking a daily dose of hormones. And for the time of my life when I was in an 8.5 year relationship, that was our form of contraception. And it didn't really, I was just like, condoms, no thanks. Like, I don't need to. I've got a boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. You know, so it wasn't even, and that was really the start and the finish of it.
Mm.
Until I started to, I don't know, I think maybe about 4 years into not having a period, like literally, I would get all of the symptoms of a period, back pain, you know, a little bit of acne, you know, maybe a bit moody, but never actually bled, never had a period. And I started to investigate that a few years ago, and I went to a doctor. They said, it's fine, don't worry about it. But there was something in me that was like, oh, I don't know about, like, it doesn't sit right with me that I don't even know where I'm at in my cycle. You know, I don't know what's heavy. I don't know what's light. I could go on a few. I'd be one of those people that you see on A Current Affair with those stories of, like, I didn't know I was 6 months pregnant, you know, like, provided I wasn't sure. But I would be one of, and you go, how the fuck do you not know that you haven't had a period? That would be me.
Yeah.
And my best mate got pregnant because of that reason. She hadn't had a period for all this time. And I think that's what rattled me, because that's going back 4 years ago now, so that would make sense. Where I went off the pill, I think it was maybe like 4 months straight away, my skin, awful. And I was like, this is just, you know, recalibrating. Think about what you've been doing to your body all this time. And I was at a point where I was like, when it gets too bad, if it gets too, I'm just going to call it, because what's the point in putting myself through the ringer?
Mm-hmm.
My confidence was so rocked. I felt so awful. I was doing all these different things, skincare, like spending so much money on that, you know, like all the things that you're supposed to do, trialing different things in your diet, nothing worked. I was like, fuck this. I'm going back on the pill. Fast forward to a year ago, broke up out of this relationship, and I was like, why am I taking the pill? Also, I'm at a place in my life now where I'm not as like, blasé about things that I put in my body as I kind of used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and after hearing that podcast where this particular doctor was talking about, you know, for women, we are cyclic creatures, and, you know, our 28-day cycle is like with, you know, in line with nature and the moon. And, you know, it's important for us to know for our – we've done this with Lucy Peach.
Yeah, we'll put that in show notes.
Incredible. Yeah. To know where you're at in terms of your decision-making, and not just when you're moody, but also when you've got energy, when you need more sleep, when you want sex, you know, when you know, all these kind of things. And I was like, I've got no idea about any of this stuff, and I never have.
Mm.
And I think I felt compelled, as somebody that is a curious soul and somebody that preaches, you know, this stuff that we do, like, find out about what you're doing. Like, don't just kind of walk around
talk
going,
about
moo,
it.
Moo.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, like, and I just had this epiphany, you know, where I was like, what are you doing? Why are you on this pill anyway? You know, stop taking it. And I was like, I'm embracing this. I got my first period, which I cried at because I was just had.
You Instagrammed it.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, big news, guys. Started bawling my eyes out because I had forgotten what it was to actually, I don't know, be one of the defining factors that makes you a woman. This ability to fertilize eggs that essentially become new life. I kind of just been like, oh, yeah, well, that's kind of convenient because now I can just wear my high-cut bikini bottoms and not worry too much about a tampon, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way I'd been kind of getting around for the last, you know, 30-odd years.
I believe as well a bleed is like a cleansing too, which is, I think, the interesting part. But, I mean, just to interject here, I think it is a cleansing, but I do think that there's times and places for everything.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think... I do think that you've given your body a bit of a break, but I think also you are single and you are sexually active.
Mm.
Like, there's also got to be a line there where you are responsible for that stuff too. Mm. Like, there's a few factors here. So I don't know, the fact that you're thinking about going back to that after what, almost a year of being off it, you're just so fucking hard on yourself. Like, you don't have to be a certain way. And also, just because I didn't stay on, I don't have skin like your. Like, there's lots of reasons people are on things and off things.
Mm.
And I don't know.
I set myself – I'm pretty goal-orientated too. If I say I'm going to do something, which I think you're right, is to my detriment sometimes.
Use the word at the beginning of this podcast, I've failed.
I do still feel like that. And I understand where you're coming from. But at the beginning of the year, I was like determined. I was like – it doesn't matter how bad my skin gets. I'm curious to know to push through that 4 or so month mark when I've gone off the pill before, skin was bad. And I felt like I didn't really give it a proper shot in terms of, okay, well, if you think about your body having been on a medication for close to a decade, 4 months isn't that long of amount of a time where I was like, you almost owe this to yourself to let your body recalibrate. So give it a bit longer. And I have.
How long?
It's been almost a year now. And my skin is as like the worst it's ever been. And it's not even in a place where I need people to be like, it's not that bad. Because it's the way that I feel. And the way that I feel right now is like the way that I felt 4 years ago when I tried to go off it, and the way that I felt when you're 15 and you think everybody is looking at you and gives a shit about the way that you look.
Mm.
Like, I feel like I'm catapulted back to that 15-year-old girl on a bus, like wondering if the boys are looking at me, and like to the point where I will – I haven't actually said this out loud, but to the point where recently I was seeing a guy and I made sure I sat down in a particular seat first so he could see only one side of my face, because I was like, I don't want him to see, because I was just like, oh, like – and I think it's – to a point where I'm like, I'm 28, like, when's his end? Like, when's the acne part end? You know, like, and I think I've been pretty patient. Like, there have been mornings where I just look at my face. I actually don't want to look at myself in the mirror, where I'm just like, I don't want to go to this meeting today. It's so ridiculous. And I know that. But part of me is like, are they looking at my skin? And oh, I better put this and then I've got this retinol cream and I've burnt the shit out of my skin.
Yeah.
Like, my skin's actually flaking off.
Yeah.
And a makeup artist the other week goes, what have you done to your skin? Like, you've actually burnt your skin.
Mm.
And I just – I think there is part of this, like, self-loathing where I'm a bit like, I'm so angry
that I'm dealing hurting with yourself this. A bit.
I'm actually – it's a bit self-harming.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I don't fucking care that it's – I can see that it's burnt. And I put it on. I put it on again last night because I was a bit like, oh, fucking – you know, and I feel like I get this salicylic acid stuff, to which is good to, you know, strip yourself of dead skin cells. I know consciously I'm stripping my skin of the oils that it needs. And even my 21-year-old brother, he – I think I was quite – every 7 seconds I'm looking – you know, I was driving. I would pull down the rearview mirror. He goes, stop looking at it. Stop touching it.
Mm.
And he said to me – he's a pretty clued-on dude, but also he's 21 and a boy.
Mm.
And, and he goes to me – I said, look, my skin's cleared up a little bit today. He goes, why are you worrying about that? He goes, doesn't even matter. And I was like, oh, I wish, because if I was giving myself advice, I'd be saying the fucking same thing.
But it's
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but this is the thing, right? Like, so there's two ways to look at this. There's a lesson here, and I know you're going to roll your eyes, and sometimes when you're not interested, that's okay. Like, but we're doing a podcast, so I need to bring my thoughts. But sometimes as a mate, I also just want to sit and listen to you. But unfortunately, we're recording, so here's my take. There are lessons that you'll need to learn from this that you might not be in the place to need to learn right now. I think the thing that I've realized this year is I believe that there are always things underlying. And there's a self-confidence issue there for sure that I can hear straight up coming from high school. You know, for sure you're worried about the way people think. And it's physical and it's there. So it's very prevalent. But I think that emotional issue is probably flaring something within you as well. I'm a big believer in that. I might be right, I might be wrong, but that's just the way I see the world. But I have also realized that sometimes you just need a fucking break. Sometimes you don't need to fucking deal with everything all at the same time.
And I think that's what this year has been.
It's been a lot.
Like the transition with like always having a stable job for close to a decade and then being like, oh, what now? Going through a breakup, starting to date again, like all these different things where, you know, if I was in a long-term relationship, I probably wouldn't care so much. But here I am meeting new people and I'm like the whole time I'm not present the whole time. Like even recently this guy that I was like I'm into and the whole time I'm looking where his eyes go. And I almost feel like it's horrific, but it's like somebody we used to work with constantly put herself down and make fat jokes about herself to get there first. Every person that I've seen over the last week, I even said to you today, I'm like, oh, my skin, because I felt like I don't want Stace to look at my skin and then think to herself, oh, God, Chrissy's skin's a bit full on.
But I know that you don't want to keep hearing this, but I got to say, I'm with your brother. I just don't see it. And that's where I think the issue lies. No one else sees it. You just see it. And it's coming from somewhere within that's a tugging insecurity within yourself, for sure. That doesn't mean you need to work that out today. And if going back on the pill is best for you, plus it also ticks off a few boxes of you having sex and being safe, It's great. It's not a failure. It's just you tried it for a bit and it might not be the time right now.
I'm proud of myself for pushing through as long as I have because I've been feeling like this for a long time.
Yeah, well, you gave it a go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, listen here. The first 3 years of your life are everything, apparently, according to my psychologist. There is a website where I've got this particular info from. It's called educationalneuroscience.uk, .org. And it's actually called, there's a name for it, it's called the 0-3 movement. Mm-hmm. And the general idea is that the first 3 years of your life are a critical period for a child's brain to develop, and that deprivation of any sort over those years will result in persistent kind of defects in cognitive, emotional, and even physical health. So
right.
Hardcore.
Is this?
I'd heard my best mate say very often.
Is this new to you?
No, because I'd heard her say more recently since she had my godson. Mm. First 3 years. Like she's read a lot of books, Raising Boys, all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
All of it, first 3 years. And she hasn't said it in an intense way. It's just been in conversation. It's obviously things that she's learned since she's become a parent.
I think we're all told that you're a little sponge and you soak everything up. But I don't know that I've ever heard it broken down to the three bit before?
It's really, really specific. And the reason that it's very prevalent in my life is because my panic attacks have become, they've not just become very clear, but I think I've looked back at the past year and even big blowouts I've had with my husband have all now, it's all very clear, they've all been panic attacks where I feel like the sky is caving in and I literally need to squeal and have like almost like a mini tantrum because so much panic comes through my body that I literally convulse. I can shake like I'm doing it in front of you now, like where I'm can not calm myself down. Oh, we'll do it on another podcast because I feel like we need to dive right in.
Okay.
And I'm still working it out, so I feel like I don't want to give too much info. But what I will say is I am discovering what the definition of a panic attack for me is.
Because it can be, is it different for everybody?
Yeah, and also you tell yourself that you're an awful person and you just yell at your partner because your dad yelled at you, or, you know, you have all these storylines that you tell yourself is happening that isn't about anxiety, because anxiety is really still a very new concept in terms of a medical condition. And as much as I know a lot about it, I talk about it a lot and I'm aware of it, I don't think I realized the severity of my anxiety.
Right.
And so that a lot of the issues that I've had this year with the way I've been able to deal with things has triggered my anxiety, which then leads me to not be able to cope in certain situations. And I, instead of fainting or having a tight chest or whatever, they're playing out in different ways. But I didn't know it was anxiety. I just thought I was having an early stage relationship blow up with my man. But I would find myself on the floor in the hallway, like in the fetal position, wanting to shut myself out of the world. Like,
see,
that's not a fight. That's something way more severe.
As somebody that doesn't have anxiety, you do, and one of my best mates does, and I knew that panic attacks and anxiety can come in different forms to different people, but what I didn't realise is that you can have different forms of panic attack as one person. Mm. I just thought it was like Stacey's is a tight chest. You know, this person's is a meltdown. This person's is rage.
It evolves.
I didn't realize that it's like pick any of the above and you could have any of those on one given day.
I think it depends how much anxiety you have, what level you have.
Yeah.
And I think it is a master of playing out in different ways. Like you might conquer a calming way to calm yourself down from fainting and then it will come out and throw its, you know, its weight behind some other symptom and I didn't even know myself. So I've gone through a very big exploration over the past few weeks. I think a lot of you may have seen if you follow my personal Instagram that my brother was incredibly unwell. So to add to losing the baby and losing the job and all these other kind of full-on things that have happened this year, I almost lost my brother. So enter my body is just not coping with some basic shit. And I'm just a bit sick to fucking death of it. So I'm exploring and I'm reading a lot of books, which are very, if you're an anxious person or you've had some form of assault or, you know, reading books about those kinds of things are very triggering for you. So it's very hard to get through information because they all trigger you and make you feel what you're trying to avoid feeling. But I've been determined. I'm just going to try and sit in the shit a bit and work through this. And yes, there's been considerations of medication for me. I'm not actually taking anything at the moment or yet. I'm still TBC on that. But I've considered it for the first time in my life and I've had anxiety since I was 3 years old.
Is your anxiety, and maybe this is a too simple of a question to answer, but do you think at this point in your life your anxiety is the worst it's ever been?
No, I just think I'm more aware of it. Mm. So I go and dive into some more work with a new psychologist who works very much on parent relationships and trauma and kind of going and trying to figure out essentially, in these are my words, where your fight or flight response is stored from.
Which is such an innate reaction that you don't have any time to kind of think about.
Anxiety is often very much your fight or flight being triggered. Something's wrong, we're in danger, something's happening, panic, you know, this vibe. But a lot of the time with anxious people, there isn't really, you know, it could be something that really doesn't evolve a bear coming to eat you, even though it feels like a bear is coming to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
So she spoke about the first 3 years and how integral it is in terms of the development of my fight or flight. And she said, do you remember what was going on? I'm like,
do you remember much from 0 to 3? Because I remember nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Let us know if you remember things because I have.
And if you've done any of this therapy, this real hardcore psychological work on your first 3 years, because this is what I'm about to dive into.
Yeah, okay.
And I thought to myself, my mum and dad have very different pictures of my life and their lives, essentially. And I've often hesitated to go and ask them for things because sometimes it feels like a bit of a head fuck and a very self-involved view of the picture as opposed to an actual
realistic
view of the picture.
Yep, yep.
Although I must say, as much as my mum struggles from her own illnesses with her communication and her verbal activity, like she's got a kind of a motor neuron near-esque, I don't know, it's a concoction of a lot of things. She does struggle to communicate. And so I often put her in that box and I had a bit of a chat with her this morning and I asked her about the first 3 years of my life.
Yeah.
And she said, it was pretty good. She was like, you know, saying a few bits and pieces about dad and her and how things got pretty hectic a bit later because they've divorced when I was 11.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, yeah, but mum, just talk to me about the 3 years. Like, even if you feel like it's not something important or whatever, just what was happening. And she goes, well, you know, we all talk about how your brother and you were very close in age. She said, but that was very full on for me. She said, you're born 15 months apart.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it that she must have been, I was less than 6 months old when she fell pregnant.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14, well, 6 months. Yeah.
6 months That's old and she falls pregnant with another
mental
baby.
Okay.
And then she told me my brother was born and a year or so later she had to have a hysterectomy.
Okay.
So she had some complications with her body and so she was in hospital getting her entire female parts taken out, which is an insanely intense surgery.
So you're a couple of years old at that point?
I'm just almost 3.
Okay.
Then she says to me, I'm not 100% sure how your father will tell this story. And she is such a fucking golden egg, my mum, because after all of the stuff that my dad has put us through, and I love him and we are all still one big unit, my mum has never said a bad word about my dad. They are best of mates, mm-hmm. and she has never spoken ever. I know people that have been together for 50 million years and still will bitch about each other. My mum has never, and either does my dad, they do not talk badly about each other.
Yeah.
So mum had said to me, and it would have been harder for my mum, let me tell you. And mum said to me, look, I don't know what your father's going to say about this, and I'm not going to say anything for fact because I don't know. She said, but at the time that happened.
The hysterectomy.
Yeah. My doctor said to me, Pam, you're actually going to need a couple of weeks off. You know, you need to care for yourself.
Being a mum.
Yeah.
Basically.
But yeah, you need to go away.
Okay.
So she went away and stayed with some nuns in some dead set.
What?
Dead set. Went and stayed in some kind of convent where they look after women, or, you know, often it might have been back in the 70s where if you went to get an abortion, you know, there's all different reasons that nuns took women in.
Okay.
And I was like, so,
and you've
okay.
never heard that before?
Never.
Okay.
Then it gets better. She's like, now I'm not sure if your dad wasn't up to it or he couldn't get the time off work, but you kids also went into care.
What care?
Also with nuns somewhere else. For 2 weeks.
So,
and I never knew.
But you've got
no what? Memory.
But a different set of nuns, like a second set. So you weren't with your mum with those nuns, you were with other nuns.
Just random people for 2 weeks, my brother and I.
Oh my gosh.
Like foster care. But I had a working father.
What the fuck was he doing?
Well, that's why I feel a bit guilty talking about this on this show, because I need to talk to him about it. But because
you haven't even spoken to him or your brother about it.
My mum told me this morning.
Oh my God. No wonder you have abandonment issues. Jesus Christ. And no wonder you also have a love and profound respect for women. Here you are with this bunch of.
I heard the sound of music.
But seriously.
Like 3 years old, like hanging
Maria.
Out.
I can't. So you were raised.
Our
for
2 manager
weeks.
Often says to me, because I'm trying to pitch this fucking single girl book, and she has often said to me, "You got a book in you about your life, mate. Like I don't know if it's now," and I'm coming to a point where I'm almost having to agree with, like, what the fuck?
Were you angry when your mum told you?
No, I felt triggered. I felt dizzy.
Yeah,
and I felt like
speaking of panic attacks.
Yeah, I felt a bit like lightheaded and a bit like. I felt a bit because I've got such a good awareness of my relationship with my inner child and the therapy I've done with calming her down. I felt her come up. I felt this inner child kind of come up and feel lost. And I am very connected to that and very spiritual. Mm. So I'm going to have to go and do a bit of work on that because I think there's definitely something in there that has not been uncovered.
So when your mum mentions this, and you know how often this will happen where you forget completely, somebody mentions something and there's a spark or a picture in your brain or a feeling or something from that time. Is there anything when she mentioned that you go, oh,
now I feel like it's a really serious therapy session.
I just wonder if there's a dream you have or there's this, you know, something.
I mean, I know that I've always freaked in relationships when someone goes to even go for a walk. And I always just thought that was to do with my dad leaving. Like I always just thought my parents got divorced and I'm always going to have a bit of an issue.
It kind of is, really. Yeah, well.
Yeah, I always just had a bit of an idea that it would. And to some degree that's happened. But it got to a point where I'd worked on that shit and I've worked really hard on it. So when it got to this year and I kept having this anxiety, it's not that I ever think you're done with the work, but I've done 15 years of working on a relationship with my parents and on the fact that my parents split. Like I have worked on that storyline and I just feel like there wasn't too much left to dive in there. So I was kind of left to go, what else is there?
And so is then, part of you relieved then to know that there is this other section?
I just think there's like, this is the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, this is the beginning again. And I believe this is my life's work. I believe I'm experiencing things and working through it to share my story. And I do believe that. I've always felt that in different ways of my life, whether it's talking about things with you, whether it's doing stuff now on my website, whether it's whatever. It's always just been, but I've never really realized it till this year in particular, where I went, I think things are happening to me to be able to be a facilitator or something. Mm. And so I do feel I'm up for the challenge, but I feel fucking tired too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I but I don't know, like, I'm also like, on the flip side of me that loves this shit, I'm like, wow.
A new challenge. Not in that sick way, but kind of like,
what the fuck?
You can see your eagerness to dive into it and start working away. It's like when you're a little kid and you get homework for the first time, you're excited about it.
And I think that's when I released this other kind of line of work that I'm doing, I realized it's always been a big passion that hasn't just been about me fixing myself. It's about working ways for you to self-care, self-help. And I find it a bit of an adventure. Like, why wouldn't we want to get to the bottom of ourselves? Why wouldn't we want to free ourselves from the past teachings? Why don't we want that freedom? Mm. And I want it. And I always have wanted it. And I've always, since I was 17, worked hard at it. Wow. So,
well, let us know if you've done some of this work before, if you remember anything,
zero to three. I think I'm interested.
My brain's ticking and I've got nothing.
Mm.
I'm just thinking of you as a 3-year-old surrounded by nuns, singing hymns. Like, it's
the picture.
All right, I think it's time for you to pick up the phone and let your bro know. Because I feel weird that I know and he doesn't.
Well, he'll know by the time this airs. At least that's something. And I never really do this, but I'm like,
you've got to shit. Oh. Well, you can't not.
Oh.
Hot. Okay, if you like this episode,
it's a long one,
or any other episode that you have caught across the Thinker Girls pod channel, subscribe to the channel. It really helps us climb the chart so that more people can get out there and hear it. We're really passionate about what we do. That's why we want to make it as accessible for everybody to get their ears around it. So that helps.
Also, if you want to buy tickets to our live show, I'm pretty sure we will have announced it by the time you hear this episode. If not, they are coming. But we are very, very excited. There'll be probably a separate podcast to give you all the details on that. But if you are interested, head to thethinkergirls.com.au or find the event on Facebook, or all the info is on tickertech.com.au.
Stunning, guys. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. If you like that podcast, there's heaps more where it came from. Go to thethinkergirls.com.au and go through all of our oldie apps. Dare ya. This podcast is presented by the Thinker Girls, Stacey June and Christy Mercer. This podcast is produced by me, Christy Mercer, and edited by our podcast producer, Jordan Lott.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.